Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
On the sub-series, Another Measure, Another 1,000, with the message title, A River That Could Not Be Crossed, the part 2. Hallelujah. Last week, we started looking at the concept of a river that could not be crossed. I don't take much time going into it, but I just want to bring up some key things that we looked at. We looked at the concept of the double portion, as I explained. We spoke about the spirit of man coming to its full potential, that when it begins to manifest the stature of Christ in him, it is seen as what? Your spirit. So remember that Elisha asked Elijah that, let the double portion of what? Your spirit come upon me. And also we established that concept as to Moses, whose spirit was taken and placed on what? 70 other elders to operate in the same dimension of what? Moses. So last week we were talking about the last level of the anointing, the last level of the anointing. Now, another thing that was very important that we looked at last week was the three key words upon which we build the concept of the anointing and the levels. These were what? Temple, water, and what? And river. Now, the concept of temple was the revelation of the individual believer or the church. So the concept temple in Ezekiel chapter 47 was giving us the revelation of the individual as a temple, and the church as what? A temple. We already looked at this, so I need not to go back. The water was the revelation of the Holy Spirit dwelling in the individual believer and the body of Christ. And the river was the full manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the life of the individual or the corporate body, which is what? The church. This is what we looked at last week. I hope you are following. Good. So those items that were listed in the book of Ezekiel chapter 47 as a metaphoric representation, we're able to decode them as a representation of what? The temple, the water, and the river, being the various items I did mention. Today, we are going to look at another two keywords. Then we would zoom into the finality of the concept of the river. Now, today we want to look at another two keywords that was read in the book of Ezekiel chapter 47. One word is being brought through, and the other word is measure. So we saw that Ezekiel was what? Being brought through how many times? 4 times. So it is very important, because all the other things that we looked at in Ezekiel chapter 47 were repeated, not once. Water was repeated, temple was repeated, and the river was what? Repeated. So it means that they are what? Object of what? Emphasis. Are you following? So when we want to teach something from the Bible as an object of emphasis, it must have the ability for itself to be repeated in that very concept. Do you get it? So the Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 45, you see the repetition of temple, you see the repetition of water, repetition of river, then the repetition of being brought through, and then the repetition of what? Being measured. Are we there? So it means that these things I've mentioned define the concept or the experience that Ezekiel is out having. And we have to understand why these things were repeated. So today we are looking at the last two. Which one is what? The measurement, the aspect of the measurement, and the aspect of being brought through. In my first teachings at Another Measure, Another 1,000, I gave a little look into the concept of being brought through. But I made mention of it that I would bring it back when we are concluding on the concept of what? The levels of the anointing. Do you remember? Good. So now let's look at the aspect of the measurement. The measuring that was done in 1,000 cubits was standing, or is a revelation of the concept of maturity and how maturity plays a role in the extent to which anointing, or the anointing of God, can manifest in the life of an individual or a corporate body. measurement. It is a revelation of what? Maturity. Now, in this walk with God, maturity or growth is very indispensable. You can't be a Christian, or you cannot practice a Christian faith without the idea of what? Growth. In the book of what? 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2, if I'm right, the Bible said, as newborn babes, you should desire the sincere milk, that you may thereby what? Grow. Do you get it? So growth is indispensable. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5, if I'm right, Paul was trying to call to order some group of Christians, although I don't know if we still hold to the idea that Paul is the writer of Hebrews, but let me use it. That in as much as they're supposed to be on strong meat, they are still on what? Milk. And that strong meat are for what? The matured. And then the milks are for what? The babe. And that is why he started to introduce what the milk, the theory of the milk concept, being repentance from dead works, faith, and all those stuff. And he was angry at them that they are still living on this instead of them what? So in the Christian walk, maturity is indispensable. I like a very powerful scripture that really speaks a lot to me when it comes to the concept of maturity. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 11. If we can project it, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 11. So the measurement there is a revelation of what? The role of maturity in the dispensation of the anointing of God. Why levels, why dimensions are associated with anointing is because of the concept of maturity. That's why the measurement was there repeatedly on four occasions. And if you remember, in the starting lesson of this very concept, another measure, another 1,000, I made mention that the life cycle of a man is divided into what? Four stages. Do you remember? Or everything that is of maturity on this earth goes through at least a typical what? Four stage. So the day is fully matured on four stages, right? We have what? Morning, afternoon, evening, and what? And then midnight. That is the full maturity of a day. Now let's look at the scripture. Paul speaking. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So the measurement over there is talking about maturity. And if you are born again, or if you start certain things in God, you are permitted to behave as a child. But it is expected of you that at a point in time, you must drop that childish thing. Are we there? Okay, let's move on. So, when the power of God manifests in a greater dimension in the life of a person, it does not mean that the person has added to the anointing. Are you following me? It does not mean that they have gotten more anointing. Rather, it means that they have aligned more, yielded more, and responded more to it as a result of what? Maturity. So if you see somebody manifesting in a greater dimension of an anointing, it's not that an anointing has been added. The power of God does not grow. It's fixed. Are you with me? The presence of God does not grow. It's fixed. When you see somebody operating in the depth of it, what it means that the person has what? Yielded more. The person is responding what? More. The person is what? Aligning more. And when these three things are being seen, it is a sign of what? Maturity. Are you with me? Are you with me? Oh, okay. So it is the same spirit working in us all, but some are aligning more, some are what? Responding more to the same spirit as a result of what? Maturity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 30, it said, it is the same spirit. We are all baptized into the what? Same spirit. So the Holy Spirit that is in me is not different from the one in you. So the differences, which is the measurement over there, is standing for the concept of what? Maturity. So therefore, what is maturity? Maturity is how we grow in Christ, which also defines the extent to which we can limit the flow of the anointing. Maturity is how we grow in Christ. And in this concept of the anointing, maturity is talking about how we as individuals can limit the flow of the anointing. Now, let me do a demonstration here. We all did pressure, right? Okay. You see this bottle? You see the lid, okay? You see the flags behind our beautiful sister. You see the lid. Now, when we open, when we fill these two bottles, okay, and then we open or we take off the lid, and we decide to pour, which of them will be emptied first? The flags, right? Is that not it? Why? You see that this one, the lid will, though it can be same quantity, the lid will limit the amount that cannot come out. But this one is wider. So the amount that can come out of this place will be what? More. This is how maturity separates the operations of an anointing over two people. And that was what the measurement was talking about. So you see that at the ankle level, there are a lot of things you don't know. There are a lot of things going on in your life. There are a lot of things you are as a babe Christian. You don't know much. So you are not able to yield, respond. So you limit the flow of the anointing. That does not mean that the one who is seeing much impact is having a different... No. The whole thing is because of what? Maturity, which is clearly defined by the limitation that has been drawn. Are you following me? Are you following? So as you grow in Christ, there is less of self and more of Christ. Maturity. As a person grow in Christ, there is less of self. You see, that's why I tell you that if you come to church for a period, let me even put some age to it. You have been a consistent Christian for 3 years. And your prayer orientation is all about your breakthrough. And you don't know how to stand and pray through the needs of God, which has to do with the advancement of the kingdom. Are you following me? You are selfish. You are immature. Because of that, if the anointing that operates in your life will be limited. Because the sign of maturity is that less of you, more of what? Christ. That I may decrease, that he may what? Increase. So the measurement you saw over there was showing the level at which Ezekiel was losing control of himself. Because you follow me, from the ankle he could walk through. Do you get it? At the knee level it was easy for him to have control. At the waist, but when he became a river to what? To swim, he didn't have control. He has to what? Rely on the mechanism of what? Whatever he is inside to move. So the more we see Christ in you, the more the anointing will flow. Hallelujah. Thus, the more you mature in Christ, that is more of Christ, less of you, the more anointing is revealed and expressed through your life. Not because you have more of it, but because you have become a better vessel for its flow. You have become what? A better what? Vessel for what? Its flow. Now, I want to talk about something today, and I want us to pay attention. Everybody is anointed. I'll keep repeating this. As long as you are born again, the Spirit of God resides in you. But maturity will differentiate the various dimensions to what we can do. And that is what we see from the ankle to the river. Therefore, how does maturity influence the flow of the anointing? Number one, write it. The more you mature, the more you increase in capacity and stewardship to carry responsibilities, revelation, and authority. Take note. The more of Christ in you and the less of you, okay, the more your capacity is increased. When you are born again, do you know that the anointing on you is for self? That's why it teaches you alone. You know, as we did first, remember 2 John chapter, I think chapter 1 verse 27, what you said, it said, the Spirit in you, the anointing shall teach you. You know, that is for you. When you become born again. All that the anointing can do, the capacity of the anointing when you are born again in you, is to teach you. But as you grow, the less of Christ, the less of you, the more of Christ,
you find out that the capacity of that anointing will not only be about helping you, but you see that it can now help another person. And the more you grow in Christ, the more that capacity is expanded. Do not be jealous of the territories and the influence God gives some people, because the question is, have you grown your capacity? He measured 1,000. It was an ankle. Now, from ankle to knee is another 1,000. So if you are at the ankle level and I'm at the knee level, are we on the same capacity? No. So the first thing that maturity does in the flow of the anointing is that because of maturity, your capacity, it corresponds to what? The increase in your capacity, stewardship, and responsibility. Stewardship to carry what? Responsibility, number one. Revelation, number two, and authority. So you can see that some people can operate in certain authority as a result of capacity. If you want God to bless you financially, and all you do when money comes into your hand is to think of yourself, do you think God can trust you with millions of dollars? No, you don't have the capacity. God will not do that. So in the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 10, listen to what Jesus said. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in what? In much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in what? In much. Continue. You find out that he said, now they will take that which is of the least and give it to the one who has been faithful to have a control of what? A greater share. Are you following? Now you read down as you find out that the anointing, you see, they say that the one who has been faithful, they will give you a greater place of what? Operation. So the question is, the level you are right now, how much of Christ is coming out of you and how much of less of you are becoming of yourself? That is the most important thing. Number two. So, at this level of what I'm talking about, the anointing of God, that's why you find out that the anointing of God operates more powerfully in those who are spiritually responsible and submitted to God. That is why you find out that you go on a crusade or soul winning, you have never prayed for a sick before. Then you bring a sick person. Then you pray for the person. And then there will be a miracle. Do you know why? Because you are growing in capacity. You are putting the interest of God first. You are growing in it. So therefore, when you step on the field, in that cost of the price you are paying, a capacity has been created. And therefore, God can use you. You are a better vessel to flow through. Number two. The role of what? The measurement. I mean maturity. Number two. It enhances discernment and purity of the flow. The more mature you are, the more discerning and accurate your use of the anointing becomes. The difference between the use of the anointing, the difference between two prophets, who one is becoming a blessing and one becomes an extortionist, is maturity. You find out that the one who is using the anointing to extort from people will not make much impact as the one who has grown to maturity to be a good steward. Maturity, the same anointing, it will enhance the accuracy and the use of the anointing. You see accuracy, maturity. Look at the difference between Eli and Samuel. I want to show you maturity. Samuel was lying behind the ark of God in the temple, and God called. Samuel didn't know. He said, "Ah, you see, that is what maturity can do. That in the midst of noise, Eli knew that it was God, even in his state of blindness, in his state of old age, he knew. That is how maturity can help you. If you don't grow in the things of God, God will speak, you will not hear." That's why you see that you spread your anointing out on fruitful places. You are not somebody who is target oriented, because you are not matured. Everywhere you want to manifest, you think it's every pulpit that you have to preach upon. Every place you want to. No. See, the anointing is not for showmanship. Time. Let me move on. So you see that Paul went to a church called the Church of Corinth. You know, the Church of Corinth was a very gifted church, very anointed church. But he told them that because of their life of carnality and immaturity, even though he wanted to flow in certain dimensions to them, he cannot. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Number 3, the place of maturity or the measurement, how it affects the flow of the anointing. Number 3, maturity will help you to align with God's purposes, such that you become more focused on kingdom purpose and not personal agenda. By this, your life is yielded to God's mission, which makes the anointing manifest more and consistent and effective. You see, when you yield to the purposes of God, you see consistency. You see more of the anointing. And you see it effectiveness. I mean the power of God. It's maturity. So, what the man who was taking Ezekiel through was helping him to grow. Mature. So, if he had held Ezekiel that, let's go, let me bring you through, I'll come there, and Ezekiel resisted, he would have remained there. The second keyword, being brought through. Now, this being brought through, I want to let us do this. I want us to create this mental picture. Imagine you are Ezekiel, and then you are being held by a man to walk through a water that you ended up swimming in it, to the extent that you couldn't cross, so the man must help you to the bank of it. I want you to create that mental picture of the scenario over there. Another thing I want you to also picture is how a temple that was coming with a drop of water turned to yield a river. Seeing a water dropping here and becoming a river. Are you ready? Now, let's hold this. Being brought through, as last week I established, that the temple is a representation of either the body of Christ or the individual. Let's take that of the church or the body of Christ being brought through. Follow me. Being brought through over here could stand for the eternal development of the believer with regards to the presence of God. And that is achievable in the corporate body. Man, this is what happened. When you are born again, you are born into a spiritual family. Are you following? When you enter that spiritual family, that is where all the things of God. Do you know that the body of Christ, everything concerning the Holy Spirit, is within the church. It's within the church. So, when you are born into the church, you begin to experience the Holy Spirit because He's there. He comes into you. Then what happens? This is what happened. As the person who is born into the church avails him or herself to be measured, that is growth. Whilst he's in the church, which is the temple, the influence of the Holy Spirit in terms of his presence increase alongside with the person. Are you following me? So if you allow growth, you are being brought through. This brought to means that the presence of the Holy Spirit begin to what? The influence of the presence begin to increase. A scriptural representation of this is the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. The Bible said, but we all with an open face beholding us in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are changed. Change is an art. Is an object of what? Influence. If a change happens, it means that something influenced you. Now, let's do a little science. The law of Newton. First law of Newton. It says that a body is at what? Rest. Means no movement, no change. Until an external force. It's only an external force or a different force that will change it out direction. So a body will be at rest at the same direction. So you can change the direction of something by only another out. So when the Bible says we are changed, it means that there is some external force which is applied and then you are being brought through. So you see that there is, when the force is strong, it will determine the level to which the change can happen. So when the person avails, it begins to the ankle level. This ankle level is where foundations are laid. So you see the anointing of God teaching the person, helping the person, speaking in tongues, foretaste, all of this thing. Then as the person avails and continue to yield or to the Holy Spirit, the person will come to a point where the person will fully yield to the Holy Spirit. On the principle of what? Consecration. Such that the presence of God has full control over the life of that person. Now, take me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 20. Let me show you something here. Being brought through is moving growth. How do we know? We begin to see the influence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Bit by bit. Glory. You are transformed from one glory to another. Now, when you come to a point where you yield, that is the maturity, and you grow fully, you yield. And that yielding I'm talking about here is the principle of consecration. Now, you remember I told you that the house of God is a temple, right? You remember that? And if you are in the temple, the Holy Spirit is there. Now, let's read something over here. But in a great what? House. There is not only vessels of what? Gold. Do you remember I told you in the issue of the measurement that the anointing, the dimensions of the anointing is because maturity can cause the flow. Become a better vessel for what? The flow of the anointing. Are you following? You see the house of God, which is temple. What is the next dimension over there? Vessel. So you're heading towards the anointing. Of gold and silver, but also of wood and what? Clay. Some for what? Honor. And some for what? Dishonor. Continue. It's so pathetic that in the same house of God, people can be used for dishonor. But that is not to this message. Therefore, listen, if anyone cleanses himself, consecration, from the latter, he would be a vessel for what? Honor, sanctified, and useful for the master. Brought through, showing the levels of anointing. Now, the brought through, as I said, is being handled. Now, if you allow consecration to affect you, your level of consecration is going to decide the level of the flow of the anointing. That is on you. So the brought through here is the willingness to yield and to be taken through. What's the measurement? Is the proof of what? Maturity. So what am I trying to establish here? When a person is being brought through, it can be a whole discipline, whatever it is, then you see that Christ will come out of the person, and then the self of the person will what? Decrease. Then God will find that vessel useful, then a dimension of the anointing that is already him will be what? Exposed. That is what is leading to the levels of the anointing. So if you are not being brought through, there is no way you will be a vessel of honor. Because we all came with our rough edges. See, we are all coming to Christ with our rough edges, which needed to be smooth. That is a life of consecration. Hallelujah. Amen. So, such person's spiritual dimension, so when the person yields and the person is being brought through, the evidence of that person being brought through is that the spiritual dimension of the person outweighs the physical dimension. That is, the person becomes more mindful of spiritual things than physical things. Have you been brought through? That's why I tell you that there are certain things that you go through in life. There are certain heat, pressure, certain things that happens to you. it is to bring you through so that the vessel capacity can be created. Because you see, you will not feel for people who are suffering. But what God wants to do with your life is that he will make you a vessel through which people can be blessed. But you, as you are, you don't have compassion for people who are suffering. So do you know what God will do? He will bring you through. He will bring you through. And they're bringing through. Some is not easy. He will bring you through. He will lock all the windows of heavens and let you have a feel of how it is to be in need. Then as you have yielded to that training and you pass, when he bless you and you see somebody is in it, God will not tell you to give. You give. And that is how you see financial anointing, financial breakthrough coming, manifesting so strong in the life of the person. Are you with me? Amen. Now, let's look at the outward manifestation of being brought through. Quick. You close up. Now, I said there were two pictures that were painted as a temple. The individual as a temple and the body of Christ as a temple. Are you following? So, whilst you are in the temple, that means the body of Christ, you are being brought through in the great house. So, you see that the presence of God is strong in your life as a result of consecration. And that out of that consecration, there's a flow of power. So, your level of consecration can determine the flow of God's power in your life, which is the anointing. Are you following me now? Now, when it comes to the individual, now we are treating you as an individual. How does this brought through mean? This brought through does not mean that you, the person, is the one experiencing it. It talks about people who come close to you. You know that Ezekiel went into a temple. So let's say he met an individual with a temple. Then within a period, that individual, what was coming from that individual, was something that was at his ankle level. Then moved towards his knee. Then came towards waist and a river not to swim. Now the outward manifestation of being brought through is that when somebody comes into your life and meets you in over a time, the person must see that the influence you are having over their life is not as it was last year. Now, when you are being brought through, we, the ones who are around you, will know that the way and manner which you are influencing our life, your impact in our life, is growing. Let me help you. So, do you know Anna? Okay. Anna is a thing of growth. You know that when you are with your younger brothers, or let's say your family, your siblings, there's a way they used to respect you some 2 years ago, right? Or some 3-4 years ago. At that point, you couldn't even buy biscuit for them. Your influence in their life was, help me to do my homework. So they had some level of honor for you. But now you have come of age that you can pay their fees. You can feed them. Can you see the change in how they treat you? Am I the only one talking? Do I have witness here? At that time, they could have called your name, Carissa. But now, sister, you have been brought through. So the outward manifestation of the power of God, that people who know you, that you started with your generation, they will know that, oh, at first, all that you could do is to share the word of God with them. But now when they come to you, they have problems and you talk. It changed. They say, this temple, whatever is flowing from this temple is no more the water that is at our ankle. Something is happening. It gets to a point that you become a river, which it means that because of you, they'll survive. You become a river that they have to swim. It means that everything about their life is because you are alive. That is the point you get to, that your family, the devil cannot touch anybody without your consent. I pray for you. May people begin to see. We must grow that our family who knew us as people, he's a pastor, but now we say that he's our pastor. Can anything good come out of what? Nazareth. He said, come and see. I pray for you. I see God taking you to a level that many years, people will say that, can anything good come out of this Nazareth? But the time is coming that they'll tell them, come and see. Come and see. what the Lord is doing in Nazareth. It is an expression of the outward manifestation of being true. Now they see the power of God manifesting strongly in the life of a person. So being brought true can reflect how you have allowed yourself to grow in the house of God by the experiences of the Holy Spirit, which is in the temple, the house of God. And also how your individual life begin to impact those around you to the point that now your influence over their life is that without you, they are nothing. And I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove it to you that there is, I said I'll talk about the signs that somebody is in that level of the river. At that river level, you find out that in our third reading, the Bible said, as long as Samuel was alive, the Philistines never. Do you know that it was the same Philistines who out of it came a man called Goliath? Do you think Goliath just appeared from the blue moon? No, he was there. But because there was a man who was operating as a river, the Bible said, as long as, do you know that the same Samuel was the one who prophesied at the 40th level that the sons of Eli will be punished? And the ark of God was taken, and Israel lost the battle, but Samuel couldn't do anything. But it got to a point, the Bible said, because Samuel was alive, the Philistines never dreamt, they didn't even try it. One man is enough. That is where God wants to take you, for the sake of your family, for the sake of your generation. That because you have been brought through, the manifestation of the power of God in your life is such that because of you, people's life are guaranteed. You are a safe haven. You will get there. We will all get there. So these are the two key things that are very critical in the Ezekiel's experience that we need to take note of. Now, I want us to conclude this teaching on a river that you could not cross, looking at signs of that level. And we're going to take four signs and then we'll close. Hallelujah. We're going to do it quickly. So as I've done with all the levels, last week I established that the level of the river is the double portion. It is where your spirit comes into a full potential. You remember all those ones. So now we're going to look at the signs. We're going to look at the signs. What are the signs that shows that somebody, and these things I'm going to talk about it because, number one, we need to pray for people. We see them in that place to keep them there because we need them. First sign, anybody who has entered the river dimension of the anointing is a person who lives a life as a principality. Very important. This is a point that God has a representation over a jurisdiction or a system such that all levels of demonic operations recognize and acknowledge that such a person is a force to reckon with. The person lives a life of principality. Now,
amen. So, these are people at that level. Principalities are people who stand and hold the front of a jurisdiction in the interest of the kingdom. Now, if you read the account of Acts chapter 19, which we read, the Bible said there were certain people who wanted to exercise the name of Jesus over evil spirits. And then a group of people who were called the sons of Sceva went to try and express this dimension. The Bible said the spirit in the man said, Jesus you mentioned, I know him. And the Paul you have referred to, I know him, but who are you? That question he asked was to establish the fact that Paul at that time was a principal. The spirit know that when it comes to Paul and the dealings of God at that dimension, he's a force to reckon with. So if it had been Paul who came there, they would have nothing to say. When you see that certain people when they go to certain place and the force and demonic powers over there begin to bow, you have to know that that place, oh, that person is a principality. Let me give you another example. In fact, one of the key things that explains this concept of the principality is that just your mere presence at a place comes with instant reaction from the demonic world. Can we read the book of Mark chapter 1 verse 23 to 24? Mark chapter 1. Can somebody help me with that? Are we there? Mark chapter 1. And 24. Okay. Did you hear? Are you following? Jesus went to the synagogue to fellowship. Then instantly, he didn't start, he didn't organize a deliverance service. But instantly, because he is a principality, and whenever he enters a jurisdiction, because of the flow of the anointing, endorsing him as a principal, there was reaction. I remember one of these days, our father in the Lord, that did you share the story? That he went to Cape Coast for the mother-in-law's funeral. Then when he slept, the spirit in that jurisdiction came and they started to display to him. Somebody went to funeral. What has that got to do? That tells you the dimension the person has entered. And these people, because they are there, oh, spirit and demonic activities. See, let me tell you, the reason why we see Ghana peaceful with all these demonic attacks trying to set the country on a blaze is because we have figures who are principalities. So when you see that when you go to a place, demons, spirits, all types of other begin to show themselves having a dream. Actually, not that you have done anything, it is a sign that you are entering the river dimension of the anointing. You are a principality. There's a popular story that we've all heard about the Archbishop Benson Idahosa. That there was once a time witches from all the world gathered in Nigeria that they are going to have conference. And then the grand witch said, even God cannot stop them. A principality walked there and said, God is busy, I'm here to stop you. I cannot say that. I've not gotten there yet. And indeed, he stopped them. He told him that, he said, say you are a witch and I'll kill you. He said, I will take your life. And that's a principality. There are people who God has put in charge. See, the resources of the kingdom is at their disposal. They are swimming in the dimensions of God. He told him that, you say you are a witch and you die here. He didn't come to argue with him. And the man couldn't say he's a witch. Because the man knew, just as the demon in the temple saw Jesus, have you come to destroy us? When they see you, they react. It was the same dimension that the man at the tomb of the Gadarite, the Bible said, the moment they saw Jesus, they ran to him. They are principalities. We need such people to keep the gate and keep spirits and demons at check so that we can grow in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Number two, provision of priesthood covering. At this level of the anointing, the individual has the capacity to provide a priesthood covering. I'm going to explain it. This priesthood covering I'm talking about is being a covering over cities and nations and generations and families. Now follow me. We all know that we are all called to priesthood. Is that not it? We are a kingdom of what? Royal what? Priesthood. But there's a dimension of priesthood that God calls certain people to, very unique. And that dimension is where God puts a garment on people which is large enough to cover other people. As a result, such garment, if you look into scriptures, are made of stones. And One of the person who was first called into this dimension of covering was Aaron. Because of time, you don't read all the scriptures, but in the book of Exodus chapter 28, verse 15 to 21, we find out that the garment of Aaron, even though the sons were all called to priesthood and the garment was made for them, we saw that Aaron's garment had what? A breastplate of what? 12 stones standing for what? Israel, meaning his heart, often what? Covering. That is why Aaron's priesthood was that he goes in there, use the blood, and over the altar, the blood covers the altar. It was a covering for the 12 tribes of what? Israel. So the garment that Aaron was wearing was a garment of what? Priesthood. That had the ability to what? Cover. The sons were not wearing that. But the sons were also anointed into what? Priesthood. It is the same dimension that Lucifer operated. In the book of Ezekiel 28 verse 14, the Bible says it was what? They were covering what? Cherub. So the priesthood of Lucifer was a covering one. So we are all priests, but there are some priests who provide what? Covering. And they have the garment designed with stones, precious stones. Are you with me? So the river dimension of this anointing, or how this one, the river dimension of this anointing, can provide covering such that you are the very essence for the success of many. Because you are alive, because you are there, your presence will keep people. And when you find such people, you pray for their survival. In fact, you protect them. Let me show you a scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 16 to 17. 2 Samuel 21. Are we all there? 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 16. Hallelujah. Okay. Can you read louder?
Then each did the Lord, who was one of the sons of the
dead. Yeah.
The weight of his one spear was for him.
Uh-huh.
Who was very little.
Yeah. Good.
But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah,
yeah,
came to his aid and started his life.
Okay.
And the man of David spoke to him, saying, you
shall go out
to no more without the battle.
Uh-huh.
Lest you quench the lamp.
Do you hear what they said? Lest you what? You quench the lamp of what? Means that the entire light, the reason why Israel is prevailing is because David was alive. Even though the giant wanted to slay him, he was not the one who defeated the giant. It was one of the people he raised who defeated what? The giant. But the one thing is that they said, I was able to slay this giant because you, the lamp, you are here. You see, the battle sometimes we win in our spiritual warfare is because there are certain people alive. We have to thank God for the lives of Archbishop Duncan Williams. Thank God for the lives of people like Bishop Doug. Thank God for the life of certain father figures. You might not like them. You see, you might be doing greater. You might be slaying giants that can slay them. But I tell you, if they fall, you cannot stand it. So the people had to make David to swear that you will not go to battle with us anymore, but as long as you are alive. You see, the name of David was a terror to the enemy. When we said David, even a representative of David is enough. The name David, because the man was a principality. So when you see people who are flowing in the rivers of the anointing, one of the things that they show, or one of the dominant characters, is that they are the essence of our prevailing life. God used them as a covering, priesthood covering. And under that covering, we are able to see the manifestations of the power of God. So when we say we are making intercession, when Paul said, first of all, I exhort thee therefore that you should prayers, intercession, and all this is be made for those in authority, it's because they are like lamp. When they are there, we are able to succeed. And we have to fish out these people and be interceding for them. Another example is the scripture we read concerning Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 7. It said, as long as Samuel was alive, not even one Philistine tried. The moment Samuel passed, Goliath reared its head. Why didn't Goliath come out when Samuel was alive? When someone died, Goliath came. Saul didn't know. Do you know that the moment someone passed, he didn't keep long for Saul to also be the same? Did you notice? Saul didn't know that all the victories and all the things that were happening in his administration, even though the Spirit of God left him, was because Samuel was alive. So these people, when people reach that dimensions of the anointing, we protect them. We are to intercede for them because they are the lamp to our life. The priesthood covering they offer us is unmeasurable. And that's why I'm going to ask you to be praying for our Father and the Lord. Did you? Let me tell you, there are certain attacks that some of the men of God has gone through. If not for Daddy Joe, we would have buried them. Some were poisoned. The father issued a word. The poison came out. Do you know some of the attacks some of us have survived? Or you think that, no. There is a priesthood covering that is covering us. And that is what is covering all of you. There are a lot of things that you have escaped as a result of the covering over this household. Not all principalities are in public. Some principalities, you never even hear of them. But they are behind the scenes. The things that they do, you not even realize. Hallelujah. Quickly. Number three. The place of unusual miracles, signs, and wonders. I mentioned this last week. You see, when they get to the river of the anointing, unusual miracles become their normal life. Now, healing cripple is a normal thing for Pastor Chris. You will fast for 21 days. You may even end up being 40 days. And the cripple may not walk well. You may end up doing healing. Pastor Chris will create a miracle there. Everything will be fine. It's like you and Apostle Adinasare going on a crusade and want to pray for deaf ears. Or creative miracle. Legs will grow. Bones will come. You will fast 40 years. It will happen. He will be there and it is a normal. It must happen because he's there. See, that means that because they are there, it must what? Happen. There are places that Pastor Chris went to minister. After the program, 2 days, people went there and they still had their miracle. Yapon, we have left the venue. They carried people there. On stretcher, they got up. Unusual. Unusual. That's why the shadow of Peter was enough. When you see people who have come into certain dimensions of God, that when they come to a place, there must be an unusual miracle. That person is not operating in our four tastes and then specific. That is a river you are seeing over there. That is a huge river. It sweeps everything. Unusual, uncommon miracle. Uncommon. So they live their life, the uncommon life becomes their common life. It's like Elijah. It is normal for him to close the windows of heaven and open it. It is a normal thing. It is a normal thing for Elijah to call down fire. Whilst people are slicing themselves with knives, blasts are gassing out. He is just there. After he says, are you done? Okay, now it is my turn. Let me perform. You can't even understand. So these are the people who create. Don't let them buy pressure for you. They'll create. You see this and say, it is written. My brother, wait. It is written though, but I have not gotten to that river. Yes, the fourth, you have the potential, but you wait. When you get to that place, it will happen. Hallelujah. The fourth one. So you find out in the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 22. He said, Jesus Christ, a man known for what? Signs, miracles, and what? Wonders. So you see that wherever they go, they are known for that. See, there's no nation that bishop that will walk in that the president don't want to see. I don't know if you have heard. The woman bishop, you see, one of the common things about Bishop Doug is crowd. Crowd. Did you watch the recent Good Friday? You can't put that number. It is his trademark. Where he goes, people come. I remember one time he came to UCC unannounced. And people said Bishop Doug is on campus. The neck hall, one of the biggest hall, was filled within 1 hour. Yes. Now, won't you go, Bishop Doug? We are all going. Everybody went it. One faithful Sunday after church. It doesn't matter where we were. Remember the Bishop Doug has come to town. On campus, we are all there. It is a common thing for you. We are here struggling for Bishop Doug. Oh, no. It's normal. Unusual. Last one. So as I said, Acts chapter 2 verse 22, he said Jesus was known. He said a man among you for miracles, signs and wonders. Last one. The place of honor and glory. See, this is where their name becomes a currency. This is where their name becomes a currency. Have you heard that the Bible says good name is better than riches? There's a dimension of the anointing that becomes a reality. That you don't need money, just a name. If you take my name right now to Flagstaff House, nobody will mind. Go with Archbishop Duncan Williams. From the gate, the main gate to the president, you have access. There is a man in Kumasi, his name is Archbishop Adai. I want to give an example so that you know that these things are real. In Kumasi, I can dare to say that most of the men of God there, he raised them. Do you know when that man says, you are going to UK, you don't need to have a passport. He'll just make a phone call, go to the UK embassy. Somebody will just hold, it's Archbishop Adai, they'll just hold your hand, take you to the passport office, get your passport instantly done, process your visa there, and you leave. Good name. See, that is the place that you see that God has glorified somebody. They become transgenerational impact. Till today, we still celebrate people like Catherine Coleman. Help me with some of the names. Idahosa. Why? It's because they got to a level in anointing that the glory, they are the epitome, they are the description of glory. And that dimension is the river. And that is the dimension God wants all of us to reach. Today, as we wrap up on the matters of the anointing, on the levels of the anointing, it's my prayer that you not limit yourself as a reason of immaturity to only dwell at the level where God has not worked for you. As I said, the desire of God last week, the desire of God for the believer is that the regenerated spirit of the believer will come to a full maturity. And the full maturity is where the operations of the believer will be in the streaming of the anointing. The overflow out of thy belly shall flow streams of living waters. That streams of rivers can move. Do you know that a river may start its head from here, but can travel many, many miles into many countries? A river will be started here. Maybe they can have different names for it, but I tell you, it is the same river. That is how the anointing can work. When we reach the river dimension, we can just be in Ghana here, but the flow from you will travel to many nations. I pray for you. May you end up in the rivers of the anointing. May you be measured up into the rivers of the anointing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Just breathe the name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.